The Jeff Buckles with you with the two Regency Bears from his ministry. And Genesis chapter 23, looking at Abraham and the burial of his wife Sarah. We've looked so far at Isaac and the offering up of Isaac and how God spared him. But he saw the faithfulness of Abraham and how faith worked out in his life through works. And it just proved that he really did believe because his works showed it. Now we're looking at Abraham burying Sarah, and we asked the question as we were leaving the area yesterday. I asked the question, why was Abraham wanting to buy something that was offered to him for free? These men of this land of Canaan had offered to give Abraham a tomb, if you will, a cave to bury his wife Sarah, but Abraham says, no, I'm going to buy it. Let me begin again from the beginning and read. Let's start with a word of prayer first. Father, thank you for ones like Abraham, Father, that we can learn so many lessons from. Help us to learn them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Abraham stood up from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I'm a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, hear us, my lord. You are a mighty prince among us, and the choice of our sepulchres bury your dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the children, people of the land, even the children of Heth. And he communed with them, saying, if it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me. And entreat for me to Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give to me the cave of Machpelah, which he has, which is in the end of his field for as much money as it is worth. He shall give it me for a possession of a burying place among you. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham, in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of his house, or gate of his city, saying, nay, my lord, hear me. The field I give thee, and the cave that is therein, I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of my people, give I it thee, bury thy dead. And Abraham bowed himself before the people of the land. And he spoke to Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, but if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me, I will give thee money for the field, take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, my lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron. And Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchant. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave that was therein and all the trees that were in the field and that were in all the borders round about were made sure. And to Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth before all that went in at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah's wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. Now, you see the repetitiveness here in this statement. If I wanted a legal document saying that I owned a piece of land, I couldn't think of a better one than this. If we want proof that Abraham owned this place, there's no better proof than this little group of statements here, this repetitiveness. And not only is it said here, but it's said over and over again as you go through, that this was not forgotten by God's people. That Abraham had bought this piece of land. And as a matter of fact, it carries great significance because the children, the Jews, will cry back even today that we have Abraham for our father. And we're the children of Abraham. This land is ours. And we own Israel. Well, that is very, very true. Yes, it was given to the Jew by promise. To the Israelites. But let me ask one question. Hard question. Why in the world, if it was given to God by promise, did Abraham buy a cave to bury his wife in? Why didn't he just take this place when the man said, I'm going to give it to you, and bury Sarah there? It makes perfectly good sense. God had already promised it to him. All this is the blessing of God coming through this man. And God says, I'm going to give you this land, so just take it. And everywhere your feet walk, it's going to be yours. And Abraham, you just take this land, it's yours. And here these people say, well, it's yours, Abraham. And it's just like a confirmation of what God's already said. But no, Abraham won't do that. Abraham has to buy this piece of land. Why? Why buy land that you already own? Why buy land that you already been promised by God? Why are you purchasing it? And you might ask the question today, why are they still fighting for that piece of land when it was promised by God? Well, look at verse 4. Abraham says, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession and a burying place with you that I may bury my dead out of my sight. He was a stranger and a sojourner. Look with me in 1 Peter 2 and 11. We are called strangers and pilgrims as Christians, as the children of God. 1 Peter 2 and 11. Abraham realized that this land was going to be his. But men and women, it wasn't going to be given to him by man. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. We are compared to Abraham in that we are strangers, we are sojourners. Though Abraham knew that this place had been promised to him, that this land had been promised to him, he was looking to a future date, to a future day when this place was going to be owned by God, when God was going to take up possession of the land once for all. And let me just read at verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 11. Well, let me go up a little bit farther. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned. Remember, he said, I'm a sojourner among you. Sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. Why? For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham wasn't just looking for this piece of land that God had promised him. He was looking for a future place, a dwelling of God, a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In verse 13 it tells us, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they had came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And here we have the statements of the faith worked out in Abraham's life that we've been looking at these last few days together. Abraham wasn't looking for a land that was owned by men. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. He was looking for a land of promise. And though God had promised him the land of Canaan, he was not looking at that present time, at that present place. He was looking for that which God had promised, and it was going to be the future. Now, we'll go on to the next chapter here. Abraham has purchased now this piece of land. He knew that though God had given him all this land, everywhere where he walked, he had given him the land of Canaan. He had promised it to him. He knew that it was going to be at a future date. Now it says in chapter 24, verse 1, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto the eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, but I pray thee, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, that thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from which thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, and swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take him wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring my son thither again. Now, Abraham now is old, and he wants Isaac to have a wife. He wants Isaac to have a wife from his own people. And he asked this servant to go and to get this wife for Isaac. And he makes him to swear by God that he will do this thing. And the servant says, okay, Abraham, I'll go, but I have to ask you a question. What if the woman won't come with me? Do you want me to take Isaac over there to be with her? And Abraham says, no, you swear to me that you won't do that. You cannot take him back to the land from where I was taken out of. Why is this? It was a land of idolatry. It was a land populated with people that didn't believe in the true and the living God. It was a land where they had stayed behind when Abraham had left. You know, we've really rode on Lot for the kind of life that he lived, but at least Lot did leave this land when God called Abraham out of it. At least Lot did see the need to do that. And now, Abraham asked that this servant not take Isaac back to that land. Really, they were not followers of God as of yet. But we're going to see that this servant does have a good effect on these people. Well, our time's up again. We'll take up this story next time we're together. This is Jeff Buckles of the Two Roads of Two Destinies Ministry saying goodbye.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for being with us once again with our Bible study program, The Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. Join us.